All right, Joel. We are live on BBS Radio. Thank you so much, gentlemen from BBS Radio, for making this possible for us. I welcome you all. This is a Monday evening episode, and last week, Marilyn missed her turn for doing the last Monday of the month. So tonight, Marilyn Lawrence will be presenting the show. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. Welcome to the call. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. All right. Yes, we are only 3 minutes away from the hour. I don't know if Vin has the email out.
Yeah, he just got it out.
Yeah, good. I'm glad to see that.
See, Marilyn's going to talk about emergency preparedness tonight.
Yeah.
Right, Marilyn?
Uh-huh, that's right.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think that we're in a position of a perfect storm. If even one of the things that all kinds of people are saying are coming down the pike at us, a little emergency food and consciousness would be a good thing to have.
Yeah.
Be ready. Yes, good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right.
I hear coyotes in my backyard.
Oh, yeah. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Hi, it's Cleo from Connecticut. How are you?
Good evening to you, Cleo. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I had some in my backyard.
Yeah. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Joni from St. Louis.
Hi. Hello, Joni. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
So, Heis, when you mute everybody, can you leave Joni open?
Yes, I will take care of that.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
And you know what? I realized that I might have to leave a little early.
Okay.
Will you be able to close it up? You are on the console, right?
I am, yes.
So if you just turn off the recording and close the call?
Okay, I can do that.
Yes. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know yet. I'll let you know if I have to leave. I'll let you know. Else I will be here and play a song or whatever at the end.
Okay.
All right. So it is 6 o'clock. Do you want to take off, Marilyn?
Yes, we can start.
All right. So I'm going to start the recording over here. First, I will mute the lines. I welcome all those that are joining in here, that are part of this call, listening in through BBS Radio Online. Thank you very much for being here. All right.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
All right. Hello, good day. It is Monday, August the 29th, 2016, 6 p.m. Pacific time, if you're interested. And it is a special call tonight with Marilyn Lawrence. Her turn to the topic. I need to turn this off. All right, and tonight's topic will be being prepared for whatever might happen, like I think Marilyn is going to talk about having shelter, nowhere to go, know what to do, and also financial preparedness. So I want to start with calling in the lights. to get a, to create altogether a sacred space that we can feel comfortable and where we are surrounded by the invisible love light. So let us take a breath and be seated. And we ask the one infinite source of all creation for the presence of the love light to surround each person here and for any negativity to be taken to the highest realms of love light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We now envision ourselves in this flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, moving through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, radiating through our bodies and anchoring into the core of Mother Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us who are present while we maintain the sovereign integrity of our individual souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, which provide service to others, which honor the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. Thank you so much, Marilyn, for being here tonight. I hand by this the mic to you.
Okay, thank you, Heis. And I want to say that the calling in of the light is one of the best things you can do to prepare yourself for any kind of emergency. There is power in that, and you don't have to be in a group or you don't have to be with anybody. You can call on the sources and they will be there. They've said that over and over. And they have also said that unless you call on them, they can't do anything. So do remember that as we go forward. Tonight we have with us Joni Carlton, who lives in St. Louis, and she spent 9 years in Hawaii as a licensed financial services provider and has been following the situation with our dollar and the stocks and bonds market. And one of the things that is all over the Internet right now and every now and then on the mainstream media is what's happening to our money. So I'm going to turn it over to Joni. And Joni, I wonder if you would just give us a thumbnail sketch of what's happening with our financial situation.
Okay. Am I unmuted?
You are.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. Hi. Well, it's a quite complicated large picture because it's a global picture, or macroeconomics, as they call it. But we have to be concerned with our small world and what we need to do in respect to what's happening globally. And so what we've noticed is that everything is changing, and has changed. People used to put their money in the stocks, the stock market. The stock market is actually doing a reverse of what it used to be able to show. And there are many things contingent on that, and I won't go into a lot of detail. People with life savings are concerned today what to do with their money or what little money they do have. And there are many websites that properly explain the changes that are going on with our currencies, our global currencies. We've been in a currency war for several years now, where different countries peg their currencies against other countries, and they're each devaluing their own currency. And the reason why they're doing that is to help sell their own products globally. That's one of the reasons given. So you'll hear sometimes that the value of the dollar has gone down, and there are several reasons why that could be. Back in the Nixon era, we had our dollar was taken off the gold standard. We used to have it backed by gold, and that no longer exists. And so it fluctuates. It's not pegged to anything. Excuse me. But the reason why I'm saying all this is because there are changes happening, and we're left with what do we do? Prices seem to be rising. We're hearing all of this information, a lot of it's unsubstantiated information regarding what's going to happen in the global situation. The International Monetary Fund is making some changes. It's called the IMF. So there are things that you can read about to inform yourself. But the one thing that I think Marilyn and I both agree on is that we're not wanting to panic anyone. I think there are some solid steps can be taken to just protect ourselves and our situations. And so that's why we're here tonight to flesh out some of these points with you.
What does it mean, financial reset? I hear that that term used.
Well, it has to do with the currency situation. because all the global governments have gotten themselves into a debt situation, and we are now a debtor nation, there is that concern about the valuation of the currencies. So all of these central banks, our central bank is called the Federal Reserve, but most countries have a central bank. So they all, you know, confer and compare with the International Monetary Fund, and and so they are they know that all of them have their backs against the wall with regard to debt. If you're spending more than what you take in taxes, you're really, you know, presented with a very large problem. So this financial reset has been bandied around that we're going to have a unification of all of the currencies to where it's more equitable, more even. Now, how that would even come about, because there are many players in this picture, and how soon it would come about are big question marks. But I think that there's a lot that's going to have to happen before then. And that's why I think you and I are here to just help people, you know, decide what they need to do for their own situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, just recently there's been talk about the petrodollar going away. What does that mean?
Well, especially after World War II, the dollar was, it was, how should I say this, Bretton Woods was the name of the meeting where things were set up differently after World War II. And it was given, the United States was given the opportunity to buy and sell oil with the dollar only. That was kind of a general agreement among the victors in World War II. So when you buy or sell oil from the Gulf, then everyone else had to use dollars also. And by doing that, that made the United States have what we call the world's reserve currency. We were the main currency used globally for the oil. And that has made us very, very wealthy in the process. And other governments have chafed at that.
Mm-hmm. So if we were to look for red flags when things are going to implode or there are big changes that we would need to be prepared for, what would we look for?
Well, we have some red flags now in the bond market. We're seeing some cracks in the bond market. When governments try to raise money, like the United States government, you know, with the treasuries and so forth, people will put their money into bonds. When I was in the stock brokerage business, if I had a fairly well-off doctor who had an extra $100,000, he would say, put this in a T-bill, which is a treasury note. And then he would get a decent interest rate on it. Well, now the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private bank, has always been a private bank, calls the shots. And unfortunately, they have lowered interest rates to zero and below zero at times, or they're headed that way, I should say. They're a little bit above zero now by a quarter of a percentage point, I think. But what's happened is there is no reason for people to put their money in the treasuries because they're not making any money. And so the zero interest or negative interest rates that are coming down the pike that some countries are really doing now in Europe, there's no incentive for people to really invest their money that way anymore. Well, if you don't invest your money in the government as they have been used to collecting along with taxes, then there goes all your services. Who's going to pay for all that? So that's a kind of a concern, a big concern among a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So if we begin to see the bond market going down, or we see notices that of this minus interest. Mm-hmm. So, like, you put $10 in and you get $8 back.
Right.
If we see that happening, that's one of the red flags then, that we know that something is imminent.
Yes.
What are some of the other red flags?
Well, to carry that over a little bit further, we're already doing that somewhat. You know, every bank that you bank with charges usually some money for you to maintain a checking account. Well, so it's a backdoor tax for a lot of people. When you think about it, that's just another way for your banks to keep afloat. And what they have done with the millions of dollars that were in the banks or what the government gave them, they have gone ahead and tried to reinvest that money in certain ways, which hasn't worked out really that well. They're all, you know, pretty far deep in the negative.
Wow. Well, I understand that when you put your money in one of the big banks, you don't own that money, actually. They own the money. Is that right?
Yes, that's what's turned out to be. And that's why I'd like to introduce an idea that maybe people on the call already know about, and that is how credit unions work. So, Marilyn, have you known of credit unions before or in your area?
I do a little bit. We have our money in a credit union. Would you tell us about it?
Okay. There are many places on the website that have some good information regarding credit unions, and I found a really nice list to share with the listeners. A credit union, are the depositors are all called members, and so they're considered owners of the credit union, whereas banks, the depositors are called customers, and they don't have an ownership interest in the bank. Usually the investors who have stock in the bank are considered the owners. Credit unions are comprised of a board of volunteers, and this board can reflect the diversity of the membership, whereas bank boards are paid and do not necessarily reflect the diversity of the customer base. Credit unions are local and organized to serve the interests of the membership. Banks are open to the general public. But the credit unions are not for profit. They're financial cooperatives whose earnings are paid back to members in the form of higher savings and lower loan rates. And banks are for profit corporations with declared earnings paid to stockholders only. So you can use a credit union as you do as a bank as far as securing a home loan or so forth. But those are some main points. Your money isn't federally insured up to $250,000 through the National Credit Union Administration, and you know, of course, you always hear that the bank deposit accounts are insured up to $250 by the Federal Insurance Corporation, the FDIC. And they both have the full faith and credit of the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we could think about doing, since the big banks, the four big banks are covered up with debt, is to move our money to a credit union or one of the smaller state-owned banks.
Yes, that would be a wise move.
Okay, so you might, as you're thinking about how to navigate this financial reset, one of the things to think about would be to make a change in your bank. I remember a couple of years ago there was a woman online that started a movement to have people move their bank, their money to smaller banks and credit unions because of the excessive charges that the big banks were doing. And it was scary for the big banks, and they backed off of some of their charges.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They don't really like competition, and it's been consolidated over the years. We have now a consolidation of maybe just five or six large banks now, which doesn't provide a real wide base for a foundation when you think about it. The more banks you would have, the more dispersed the problem, or the least amount of problem there might be. But when you consolidate in large big banks who are doing some things with the monies that they don't have the interest of the customer in mind, it can be a little concerning.
Okay, so what I have written down here about our red flags is that you want to watch for cracks in the bond market.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be aware of changes in the default currency, that when the dollar no longer is the reserve currency is how you put it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be aware. And then stock market shifts, dropping off, or a big bubble. And then changes in laws concerning banks.
Yeah.
And those are usually in the business part of the newspaper, so you can just kind of follow that and just be aware. It'd be like a weather report for your money. Now, what are some of the things that we could do right now that would help us if such an implosion took place?
Well, I listen and follow a number, and I've done this for the last 10 or more years, a number of pretty solid people in the financial advisory area who are from the business themselves. They are from Wall Street. They're money managers, hedge fund managers, but they're known to be reputable. And there are plenty of them on the internet. You can find them anytime. You know, if you would ever want to email Wynn, I'm sure he could forward your name, and a few websites could be forwarded. Having said that, people like Mike Maloney, Catherine Austin Fitz, go into great detail on how things work. And so as far as the money is concerned, basically what a lot of them, and I mean, I'm talking 20 to 25 different advisors who are credible from my research, have said to keep cash, some kind of an amount of cash at home or out of the bank because of the unknowing of the future right now. Now, I have a small checking account, but I have followed that advice. And I can't tell you what to do. They just say squirrel it away. So
mm-hmm.
where you can put your hands on it, in need, if in time of need. And this is no advice for those who have larger incomes or cash flows. I'm talking about us little guys. and so that's one good thing. Gold and silver has been recommended for many years as a hedge against a falling dollar. And what we have to understand the concept is that our dollar is not money. The term for paper money is currency. And it's a currency used to buy things. Money is considered gold and silver. It has always been the store of value for thousands of years, over 5,000 years. Now, why is that important? Because a lot of countries, China, India, a number of them, have bought tons and tons of gold to back their own currencies. That's how our currency used to be backed by gold, as I said before. So in the mindset of most people in the world, gold has more value than paper currency. When you see the word fiat money or fiat currency, fiat means it's not based on real value. It's just paper. Mm-hmm. We can reflect back in around World War One, or prior, Germany, the large example that most people think about is when a currency loses its value and it doesn't buy what it used to, it'll cost more and more in that paper money to buy things. So Germany went through that in the Weimar Republic, whereby people were having to take barrel loads of their Deutschmarks to buy a loaf of bread.
Wow.
And so that's the big scary example everyone is given. But we still see things like that happening in South America right now.
Yes, so, Venezuela. I read an article about them that just recently Colombia opened the border, and over 100,000 people from Venezuela went into Colombia to buy food.
Yes.
It was just amazing.
Right. So I'm hoping that I can, if there's one point that most people should try to think about, and it's just such a change of viewpoint from what we've been brought up to learn, is that our dollar, our currency is in paper. Money is gold and silver. So if anyone has a little extra money to buy a little bit of gold or silver, I would recommend that. But if we don't, I think coinage is just another way of collecting something to rely on if there would be a change in the financial services. So some people collect the pennies, but you know, any extra change, I just, you know, put it aside as a future, because we're thinking here of denomination. What will we need as far as denomination? And I would say that our denomination of bills, to keep them, the denomination small.
Small bills, so mm-hmm. like dollar bills and $5 bills, huh?
Yeah. I nothing over a 20. I see that they're giving us a lot of $50 bills at the ATM these days, and I break those right away.
Oh, okay. So another thing I think to beware about is if you're going to buy gold and silver, actually get the gold and silver in your hand, a certificate that you own something that somewhere else isn't really any good.
Exactly.
So be sure that if you're buying gold and silver, that you actually get it in your hand.
It's called physical possession.
Ah, all right. So one of the other things that that we can do is to get out of debt. And if the economy is going to implode, why is that important? Wouldn't it just be wiped out anyway?
Well, there may be just restructuring in favor of the banks. We really wouldn't know until it happens. But I think it's always a good idea to get out of debt because of the interest rate challenge. And most people, not most, I will say a lot of people, have made the mistake of living off their credit cards to pay off another debt-based bill. And that's when people really get into the hole. So, you know, it's being recommended by these advisors not to go into debt, you know, hold off on that new car, so forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, if we do have money and we want to move it or invest it, where would be a good place to put it?
Well, I cannot give financial advice over the phone. These are things that are there. I can feed some websites for those who feel that they want to continue to invest, or they may have their own advisors. So I would just like to go ahead and pass on that. And, you know, we can always lead them to some others who do that kind of thing.
Okay, good answer, Joni. I did want to say that I listened to Catherine Austin Fitz several weeks ago, and her advice was to put money into real estate or multifamily land, storable food and seeds. And so that was what she said on George Norrie. And then one of the things, if we're going to do storable food, and I do think it's important, there was attached to the email that came out tonight was a link to an article that Wynn sent me, and it was Andrea Merkel in Germany requesting that everyone store up water and food for 10 days, for the amount of 10 days. And so along with everything else that we've heard, here is a major country in the world that is being asked to be prepared. And I don't know what they know, and there isn't anything in the article that talks about that. But I do think it's important. If last time we talked about preparedness, we talked about bugging out. What is it that you want to be ready if you have to leave your home? And just this last week, over 100,000 people in two areas of the country were out of their homes, and for two different reasons. In California, it was for fire, and in Tennessee, it was for water. And so one of the things that is really important to do is to look at what goes on in your area and where are you. Are you in a floodplain? Are you in danger of fire? What is it that might come to your door that you would need to be prepared for? Not necessarily to bug out, but to be quartered in. So all these things are important to think about.
That's really true. It would be just as if you were going to prepare to go on a trip or whatever. What would you take? And of course, if it came to something more dire, what important papers would you need and want to take? You know, that would be safe. So, you know, that should be on the checklist, I think.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. And then if you're going to, it seems like it's such a daunting task to get yourself prepared for some kind of disaster. And so the first thing is to stay out of fear. And just think of this, and whatever preparedness activity you do, think of this as insurance. And that way, if you're insured, then you can relax and you don't have to be in fear, and you have the capability to take care of yourself and your family. And that may be the thing that is required of you, that when you dial 911 or 411 or whatever the emergency number is in your area and nobody answers, you'll be able to do something for yourself. And I think that's really, really, really important. And the most important thing is to stay out of fear. So one of the things you can do to prepare, and if you look at your budget, usually you have more month at the end of your budget than you have money. At least that's the way it is in my house. But there are a number of things that you can do to stock up food and water and seeds or whatever you feel in your area and in your life you would need. So coupons are good, and sales. I don't recommend the dollar store for food because most of the grocery stores have sales that beat the dollar store when it comes to canned goods or food. The last time that I did any major preparedness was Y2K. Maybe some of you can relate to that. I bought a 5-gallon bucket of lentils that I am still eating. So, and I love lentils. We've eaten a lot of them. But what I'm saying is that things like rice, split peas, lentils, beans, things that are dried already. They're easy to store, they're fairly cheap, and they last a very long time. I did want to give you some resources, and so I hope you will have your pencil out. So I'll give you a couple seconds to do that. Go ahead, Joni.
You and I had talked about medication, extra medication. What have you done that before, like for a trip or getting prescriptions?
Yes, I did read an article. You can usually go to your doctor and get a vacation prescription, so that you could have an extra week or an extra 2 weeks of your medication, and just put that away so that you have it in case you have to leave or in case that you are required to stay home. I've put together a medical kit with first aid things, things that we use a lot, aspirin, castor oil, and rescue remedy, Bach flower rescue remedy. It's really handy for both animals and people. Colloidal silver. There are a lot of things that you can put in a medical kit to work with. Okay, I hope you have your pencils. If you want 25-year shelf life food, here is a phone number. George Norrie has a special deal for Patriot Supply. The food is pretty good. I have tasted it, and I have some of their food stored up. And so the number to call is 888-411-5103. That's 888-411-5103. And they really do have pretty good prices on things. If you want to check out general information, you can type into Google top 50 survival blogs. And the two that I recommend are number 16, Survival Mom, and BackdoorSurvival.com, which is number 7. They have really, really good information, and they're not too radical. And then if you want to check out my blog, several years ago I did several blog things, and it's prepare the number four survival at blogspot.com.
Prepare and then for there is survival. Prepare for survival.
Blogspot.com.
Okay.
And it comes up Start Now, which is my blog. Then there's a free book on Amazon and the Kindle version, Preparedness and Survival Guide for Beginners by Vitaly Pedchenko. And there was one of the preparedness books that I had was on Amazon a couple weeks ago for 99 cents. So you can watch if you have the Kindle available. You can also, if you don't have a Kindle, you can get a Kindle app for either your phone or your computer, and it's free. And then you can have any of the Kindle books. But this is a free book on preparedness and survival guide for beginners.
Marilyn, may I add one thing also to the food supply?
Yes.
I've noticed I get George Nuri's Coast to Coast newsletter, and through the internet, their little ad, and I hope this brings it up to people, that regularly that $24.95 one, which is a 72-hour food supply, is only $10.
Yes, and those are quite nice, mm-hmm. And you can get up to four of those.
I have three of them in my closet. I have three large boxes that for myself that I've bought a year or so ago, but we have 25 years, they're telling us.
Yes, so. 25 years shelf life.
Right.
They also have a deal on a month's supply of food for $99.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do now is open the lines, and I'd like to take questions for either me or Joni, and I'd also like to hear your experiences, and if you have some suggestions or resources that you would like to share with us, I'd appreciate that.
Is everyone unmuted?
Let's see. Heis, are you there? Maybe Heis left. Let's see if I can unmute everybody.
I got it.
Okay.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, so we have open lines. Let's hear your questions or your ideas.
Hi, Sarmananda.
Sarmananda, okay.
Yeah, I was wondering about that shelf-life food, the 25-year shelf-life food that George Nuri is advertising. Are you sure it doesn't contain any GMOs or pesticides or anything?
They say that it is GMO-free. I did notice that on the packages it does not say GMO-free, but that's how they advertise it.
Well, it could be GMO-free, but it could have pesticides in it, like glyphosate and stuff like that.
I don't know about that.
Well, I like a place that has organic, storable food.
You have a place that has that?
Well, I'd like to find one, you know, if I could find it.
Yeah. Well, I know that the Wise company, I don't believe they even say it's non-GMO. I mean, they don't advertise that at all. They don't go in that direction.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. There's another company that's advertising with George now on the banner at the top of his website.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about them either, but that might be a good place to check out.
Yeah, maybe I'll just Google it. See what I can. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh, thank you.
I ordered from one quite a while back from one that advertised on George Nuri that at that point GMO-free and also gluten-free, but you had to order that differently.
Oh, it was gluten-free, but you had to order it specifically?
Right.
Is that what you said? Uh-huh. Did you taste that? Was it good?
It was okay. I'm not a big on food that's been processed, but
in a pinch, right?
Acceptable in an emergency. Let's put it that way. But I can't remember the name of it. It's been a long time. They still send me emails, so I could look it up.
Oh, that would be good. Look it up and send it to Wynn.
Okay.
Okay, who's next?
Okay. I've got a question. This is Terry in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And for Joni, I was wondering how secure is Social Security when there's a collapse? Is it gone totally?
Well,
is it so-so security? Maybe you get it, maybe you won't.
You know, I think that that concerns all of us. I'm in that boat also. But I will say that what they've done, the government with the Federal Reserve has gone to digital money, as you've noticed. And, of course, their concept is to kick the can down the road as long as they can. Pardon the pun. But in doing that, what they'll do is continue to issue money out of thin air is what they've done. So who can say how long that will be? When we get our Social Security, monthly Social Security payment, I suggest, if at all possible, to take the money and have it in physical storage. Don't assume that you're collecting a couple thousand dollars in the bank that's holding that is going to, you know, be able to give it to you when you need it. There are already situations where Marilyn and I have talked about. It's we're being tracked at how much money is being, what would you say?
Stored
or taken out. And
yeah,
Marilyn,
most of the money in the bank is not in the bank. It's been loaned out.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Or it's digital. It doesn't really physically exist there.
Right, with the fractional lending that they do. But what I'm getting at is that Marilyn and I always thought it was still $10,000 limit before you had to sign off on, you know, if you wanted to pull out $10,000, and Marilyn, you're saying it's down to $5,000?
It's down to $5,000 now.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And I've had a friend just 3 years ago who wanted to pay cash for a home that wasn't very much, as far as it was just a little tear down place for $11,000, but it took him almost a whole day to get his money out of Bank of America. And he didn't understand why, and I had to explain a little bit.
Would that be the same for credit unions?
No, not to my knowledge.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to know if you have any opinion one way or the other on USAA, since they not only are insurance, but they also hold people's stocks and bonds and of retirement accounts.
Well, we used to think that insurance companies were the backbone to the U.S. because of how the monies were reinvested. So my suggestion would be for you to do your own research, because, you know, you have a personal interest in that. And find out just how they are placing the monies that they are getting. And you can get reports, you know, and evaluations of all the insurance companies and how they're doing.
I know they've got difficulties, banks, to get the money out of.
Quick, Marilyn.
What?
Marilyn.
Yes.
Hey, I need to leave the studio, and I won't be back in time. So if you please take it from here.
Okay, I will.
Thank you so much. Much love to everyone. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Heis. So what was your last question?
Oh, I was saying that I tried to get the money that I got from USAA for my car when it was wrecked.
Uh-huh.
Just to get that money out because I finally found the one I wanted. I wanted to pay cash, and I could not take more than $5,000 out.
Okay, there you go.
Yes, and that went on a report.
That was in my account. That wasn't even in a savings or anything else. It was in my regular checking account.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. So that's one of the things to be aware of, and one of the reasons to have some money at home. Okay, next question.
I wanted to add something about the bank.
Okay.
Congress passed a law here fairly recently, and let me restate that. So the bank can take over your money when the government declares there's a problem, and the banks don't have to give you your money. It's their money now, or the government.
Just like in Cyprus.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's why we're recommending that you keep your cash out and just perhaps use what you need to pay some bills with in the account if you're going to use a bank because that of that very reason.
Okay, and that may apply to the credit unions also.
Well, you may have to go ahead and do your own investigation on that.
Yes, it seems that that the problem is derivatives, that the big banks have gambled with your money, and that most of those small banks have not, and credit unions are not allowed to. So that's one of the reasons for that.
It's called a bail-in. What I think, Dharmananda, was that you that talked about?
Yeah.
Cyprus? Yeah, it's considered a bail-in, whereby the depositors' monies will be used to shore up the banks. Now, if that comes about, I have no idea. I don't have a crystal ball, but. If you see the word bail-in, that's what that means.
But that is one of the possibilities.
One of the possibilities. Mm-hmm.
Is that what they did in Greece?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cyprus.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hey, I have a comment here.
Okay.
You might also add that the safety deposit box in a bank is not immune from takeover. If you want to store your gold coins or your silver in your safe deposit box and you have a bail-in, the bank will open all the safety deposit box and seize whatever assets are in it. So don't think that that's a good place to keep your gold.
Good point.
Okay.
Better bury in your backyard.
That's a good idea. Just don't forget where you buried it.
Right. At least keep a map.
Well, if you have a metal detector, you can find it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Big
okay.
Do you have any idea what how PayPal fits into any of this?
I don't. Do you, Joni?
Well, we use PayPal. But do you use PayPal, first of all? Caller, do you use PayPal?
We do,
yes.
Okay. So when you say, does it figure into this, are you talking about how they will debit a debit card or a charge card for you to make a purchase, and they're like the middleman? Is that what they've done for you?
Let's say that you have a lot of money in PayPal.
Oh, okay.
If something happened, how would that possibly be affected?
So PayPal is holding quite a bit of money for you,
mm-hmm.
and that is monies that are due or owed to you through PayPal?
Right. Okay. I'm not going to ask you the reason why you're having PayPal hold that for you, but that might not be the best choice. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say about that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, any other questions?
Oh, yeah, what about Nesera? Is that ever going to happen?
Well,
Nesera.
Nesera?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who are you asking, Marilyn or myself?
Whoever can answer it.
Okay.
I can't. Go ahead, Joni.
Are you talking about certain currencies that have been bandied around?
No, the law called the Nesera law that was supposed to eliminate all debt.
Right, right. Well, there's plenty of that on the internet, and I'm going to that plus belief that the Zimbabwe and the dinar and so forth, those kind of areas. I'm just sort of sitting back and watching, you know, how this unfolds. That's out of my purview, really.
So you think the RV might happen?
What might happen?
The revaluation.
Oh, I see.
Some are claiming it's happening now. I have a wait-and-see. I have a wait-and-see attitude.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't had a bank holiday yet, and so there's still time to do something about that.
Right.
And Nibiru hasn't shown up on the horizon. And so there's still time to get food and be sure you have light in your house and that sort of thing. So we can, we can speculate on all kinds of negativity, but there are some things that I think we would do well to remember metaphysically. And so since we're in 3D moving to 4D, just be aware that you have free will, that you can choose, and that you have complete control over your attitude and outlook, and that your thoughts and vibrations really do make a difference. And then remember that this is all illusion, and that the only thing that's real is love. And so no matter what's going on, if you can trigger the love response in yourself and others, then you'll do better. And then remember that what you focus on expands. And so choose to focus on the positive. Be prepared and get your insurance in line, but focus on the positive. And then what you... Yes?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Then what you do to another person and for another person, remember that you do for yourself. All is one. That's what this is all about. And no matter what you're experiencing, remember that you are not alone. So those are some things that can help you prepare in a way that perhaps other people don't think about and is beyond food, money, and everything else. So what was your comment? Was that Patty?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people that historically, even in the depths of the Great Depression, there were many people that were not affected by it, and it wasn't just people who had lots of money. There were a lot of very poor people, but they got by on what they needed, and a lot of people survived without that much travail. It had a lot to do with their mindset about what money was. You know, there were very wealthy people that lost their savings and their businesses, and they jumped out of windows. And there were lots of people who just kept living the way they were living. They took care of each other and friends and family, and everybody got through it. So, and there were pockets where absolutely nothing changed. So it all depends, you know, what your mindset is and what your belief systems are. And there'll be pockets, I'm sure, that are going to just go totally unaffected. Just like, you know, there's lots of things going on in the Middle East. There's lots of floodings in the southwestern states, but there are lots of pockets where none of that's happening.
Yeah, that's true.
And,
thank you.
Marilyn, can I just make a comment?
Of course.
Thank you. You know, one of the things that was in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which was where they were talking about things were going to break down. They said that. They said they're going to break down one tire at a time. And they said that the positive aspect of that, it was going to give people the opportunity to rise to the occasion, open their hearts, and help each other if people act in the right way. And in that helping of each other, they're going to be opening their hearts and have the opportunity to graduate this realm. And that's look out for opportunities to cooperate and help your neighbors. And you have to be a leader. People are breaking down. You have to stand up and hold the space.